Day classic.
What's going on, people? It's the People Forget That podcast with myself, Ryan, and as always, Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
I see what's up. The intro down.
Yeah, you're much improved. Much improved. You live and you learn, you know.
Yeah, it's a better flow. Yeah. It's a better flow. It still feels a little bit awkward. I'm still thinking about it when I'm saying it. You know?
It's not second nature yet.
Yeah, it's not fluid yet. But, hey, you know, it's episode 28. So
by 208, we promise it's going to be perfect.
There are a lot of podcasts that died during this quarantine. So poor one out. But us, we're going strong. We're just building the brand. Pretty much, we're just untouchable. You can't touch us. Like, it doesn't matter. You take sports away, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, this is really, we're being baptized by fire here, you know? Well, you started a sports podcast. Well, guess what? Sports just got vaporized. So it's possibly the worst timing ever in the history of mankind. But, hey, you got to battle through it.
There are at least two people I could think of that quit their, like, full-time job to become, like, a basketball or just like sports, well, it's basketball specifically, like, I don't know what you call them, like reporter or content driver.
Okay.
Like right before the quarantine.
Wait, who are you talking about? Name some names here.
Keith Smith. He's the guy who.
The Disney proposed, guy. Yes, yes. I saw that tweet too, where he's like, I guess this was bad timing to quit my job.
Yeah.
He seems like a bro. That guy seems like a nice guy. I never seen him on like a video or on a podcast, but I just get a nice vibe. He's like the Disney guy. He knows all about Disney.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a huge break from the Disney thing. Like he gets all the credit for it too. Everyone's like, oh, it's his idea. It's his idea. Usually people just like take it and be like, oh yeah.
I also thought of this. Yet.
What?
It's like they take it, they don't give credit, and they're like, I also thought of this, huh?
Yeah.
You know?
And then the other guy was Anthony Puccio, who was the first to speculate or propose the idea that Kevin Durant and Kyrie were coming to the Nets the summer before, and people thought it was like unfathomable for it to happen. And it actually came to fruition. So shout out to him. I know he started his podcast the week before the quarantine. So, you know, I think he quit his job, but I mean, he's still doing well. Cause I think I don't know how he makes money. I know he has like a blog, but I don't know how they make money because he's not actually like the Nets aren't paying him.
I mean, you never know with anyone. It's good. He could have had like a sick job for 10 years and just made absolute bank. And now it's like he's going to try something else where he doesn't necessarily need to be making a bunch of money right away. You know what I'm saying? Like he has some saved up to cover living expenses and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak on his behalf, so I'm not totally sure what his situation is, but I think he's doing okay because he's not asking for, he doesn't have a GoFundMe. So
he's not asking for Venmo payments.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it's crazy to think though that like, what is it? June 22nd? Like, I mean, it's June 28th, excuse me. I mean, the NBA finals would have been over by now. No, like the end of this, at this time in June, like it's over. Like we would already know, like in an alternate universe, we'd know who won the title. Oh. Crazy.
Yeah, so we'd be moving on to baseball.
Yeah, that's right thing. Well, baseball's coming back. That was great news. Oh, if you had mentioned that, I wouldn't even thought to. It's hard to know when did baseball come back? Was that Tuesday? Was that Monday? Was that last week? Like I can't even
keep track. Too much going on.
There is too much going on. But yeah, so what are they doing 60 games? 60 games, right?
Was it 60 or 75?
It's 60. I'm like 90% sure it's 60. So that's cool. I mean, it's crazy that it's that little amount of games, but it definitely beats zero games.
That's really interesting. I think fantasy baseball is probably second to football. Oh, definitely second to football.
Oh, 100%. And
bigger than basketball. So, little fantasy fact or whatever advice is that the young guys who are on the innings limits should not be on the innings limit. So if you were planning to draft someone like Chris Paddock on the Padres, who is a young guy, stud, who would be drafted lower if it was a full season. Because of the innings limit, now his stock just jumped up tremendously because he will be pitching probably as many games as like someone like, I don't want to say like Verlander, but you know, definitely up there, maybe that second tier. So guys like that who are originally supposed to be on innings limits, now they are equal value to those who are projected to have those same innings. So a little shout out to fantasy baseball there. So that's going to be real interesting. And I'm interested because now, I mean, I feel like baseball, for me in particular, it's like for football, obviously every game is important. Like you have to watch every game. Basketball, it's like you want to watch like the majority of the games. Like if you miss one, it's okay. There's still like 80 games total. Baseball, it's just like you don't know like what game's important because there's just so many games. There's so many games, and it's just like, whatever. I'll just watch. Like there's, it's like the abundance of games is just kind of unattractive in a way.
Yeah, they're not. Watch. It's like,
for me personally, it's just like there's so much. It's like it's almost like meaningless. You just want to see how good they are on, you know, that in the entire season. When the entire season comes to an end, and you see like the record, and you get to figure out like you watch the playoffs or whatnot. Because obviously the games are long, it's 9 innings, they usually last upwards of 3 hours, so it's like a big commitment. So now that they're only 60 games, I think that the views should skyrocket, because these games are going to be worth a lot more. So, I mean, maybe this will finally get them to change the schedule, and maybe I mean they won't do 60 games, but maybe they'll drop it down to 120.
Right. The only thing that I go back to with I agree with everything you said in terms of like obviously a lesser amount of games makes each game more important. Each game being more important makes people more likely to watch the game. They don't want to miss something that's so important. Only thing I would say for lessening the amount of games for baseball is that baseball is still, you know, it's a lot of money to lose. Like, let's say they drop it to 120. So that's, 42 less games. So that's, they just lost 21 home games. So it's like, what team is really going to be, maybe if you're the Marlins, you know, you don't really care because nobody goes to your games anyway. But like, are the Yankees going to give up 21 home games of like 40 to like 45,000 people coming to the game, buying beer, buying, you know, food, buying whatever other concessions like merchandise, jerseys, shirts, whatever? Are they really going to give that up? The payoff needs to be like, the only way that they would give that up is if it's like, oh, the ratings increase so much that like would the new TV deal that they signed would be like so much more than you would. You're asking them to take like a big leap of faith. Like, yes, we know you're going to lose 20 games worth of revenue from your home games, but trust us, like the ratings boost is going to, our next TV contract is going to make up for that. And then even then some, it's tough to tell MLB owners, like, you know, sacrifice what you know is going to happen for the possibility of something better happen. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, so, yeah. That's why it's going to be interesting to see the viewings and the ratings for this short slate of games, and see how that would be projected on like a 120 game basis. But yeah, on a owner's standpoint, for sure, obviously there, you know, if you don't have the home games, you're bringing less money in. But from a player's perspective, obviously they probably would rather play less games. So, I mean, when it comes to injuries, you know, injuries are pretty random. They're pretty random, so you can't really, you know, project when a player is going to have an injury. Obviously, there's like a bunch of advanced stats that come out and say like who's more injury prone and whatnot. But I mean, it's really hit or miss. It's really flip a coin, regardless of what like the numbers say. So maybe not on an injury perspective, but just, I mean, would you rather get paid the same amount for, you know, playing less? Yeah, I'm sure you would.
So I do in general, I do agree with that idea. The only thing that I could think of is that these guys, because I have heard, I don't know if it was like a player tweet something, you know, sometimes you have thoughts in your head and you're like, where did this even come from? Like, where do I remember this from? Did I watch a video? Was it a tweet? But anyways, I saw something to the effect of like, these guys just really actually want to play baseball and they're just obsessed with playing baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see all this stuff when they're like going back and forth about how many games should we play in terms of like this, not a lockout, but with this whole situation, the corona and restarting the season. And they're like, we'll play doubleheaders like every 3 days, you know, stuff like that. I just think baseball players just love playing. I know what you're saying. Like, generally, it's like, hey, if I could do less work and get paid the same amount, like, yes, please. Thank you. I'll sign up for that. But I just think maybe with sports, it's a little different because they are actually like just obsessed with what I would, not all of them, maybe some of them, it's just a job for them. But the majority of them really love playing baseball and they just want to play as much as they can. Now, obviously, there's a limit to that. They're not going to sign up probably for a 200 game season. But I would be interested to have some reporter like write an article about, because we get those articles about NBA players all the time. Like, we polled 70 NBA players about what the ideal length of the season should be. Like, can we get one of those for baseball? Or maybe they've done it and I've missed it.
Yeah, maybe it's like a privately held survey and they just send it to, you know, whoever. But yeah, that's breaking news. Professional baseball players, athletes enjoy playing their sport. So
yeah, who knew? What do you think about I've been watching soccer and I've been watching golf, and honestly, is it different for the athlete? I'm sure with no fans like in the arena or at the golf course, I'm sure it's definitely different, especially when you hit like a really score a goal, or in golf hit like an important shot, whatever, and you get no crowd reaction or only like fake noise crowd reaction. But I will say watching it's basically normal. Like, mm-hmm. It would take you, If you just somehow were in a coma and you just woke up today and didn't know anything that was going on and turned on golf, it would take you probably like a half hour to be like, wait a second, are there how many fans are at this thing? There's no fans. And same thing with soccer. But I think with basketball, I'm very intrigued to see what the vibe is going to be like. I think there's like a decent chance that it's just so weird. Hopefully they figure it out. I trust that they'll figure out like the crowd noise and camera angles and stuff like that. I really hope we're not watching and like, oh, this is fucking weird. Because when you watch soccer, when you watch golf, it's not weird. It's just really not. I'm telling you, I've been watching it. It's like, this is just basically normal.
So with golf is different though, because it's like you're just focused on that one person. I wouldn't really notice in golf, but for soccer, do they have fans in the seats?
No, like, they don't. Out? Some of them None? Have like some of them have done like the cardboard fake fans in the seats, right, and stuff like that, but there are not like actual fans in the seats now.
Are there fake crowd reactions?
Yeah, there's like, you know, like soccer, anytime you watch a soccer game, there's always like the ongoing noise in the background of like people singing and chanting like, oh, in the background. They have like stuff like that so if you're just watching, it sounds like there's sort of like people in the crowd like chanting and singing and stuff. So now when they score the goal, I can't tell you for sure. I don't really remember because then the announcers are like screaming anyway, so it's hard to tell like, oh, did they make like a crowd noise in the background when they scored that goal, because it's like the announcers like, oh, when Jesse Williamson strikes again. So it's tough, but it's pretty, I don't mind it at all is my point. And I think same thing with football. Basketball is the one. Baseball is going to be like, it's going to be totally normal, dude. Obviously it sucks, and it's, if someone hits a walk-off, it's going to be kind of lame that you don't get the crowd going crazy and throwing beer all over each other. But like the day-to-day, like it's a second inning and, you know, DJ LeMahieu's up to bat and he hits like a double, like it's not really going to be that much different.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. It's going to be, yeah, definitely it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think everyone will just be glad that all the sports are back.
Yeah.
Something to take them from reality, I guess you could say. I mean, it's definitely exciting to have everything coming back, even though it's like, it's going to be in like a month. They couldn't have done this sooner.
I know. It's like, I guess they have to, they have to ramp up in terms of practices and whatnot. And like you said, with injuries, you don't want people pulling their groin and pulling their calf and pulling their hamstrings. So you have to give them, you know, a period of time to sort of get up to speed. But I just go back to so I understand that part and why is there such like a long lead up. But this idea of that these players are going to be at such huge risk of injury. We talked about this on last pod, I'm pretty sure, but I just still can't get over it. It's like, oh, they have such a long layoff. Do you know they're going to be at a huge risk of injury? I'm like, the off season. What is the off season? Like,
right.
Now, okay. Now, I guess in fairness, you could say these guys are playing in the off season. Like, we just had 3 months where it's like you're not even allowed to go to your basketball court unless you have it in your house.
They definitely have access to basketball courts. They were playing.
Yeah,
professional, multimillionaire athletes. Like, they have access. They just don't tell us. They just won't tell us.
There was another to that point. I was listening to, I think it was like the JJ Redick pod, and I forget what episode it was. I'm not like a regular listener, so I'm not. Oh, maybe I think he was on Bill's podcast. That's what it was. And he was saying like there are people in like there's like a rich guy in LA who has like a Staples Center replica at his house, and like he'll just let like a lot of times when NBA players are in Los Angeles, that's where they'll go to like work out. And the Lakers have been like playing there. To your point, they've been like playing there during quarantine at this guy's house on a court that's like a replica of the Staples Center. So, I mean, and there you go. So that fights back against that. That makes the point, but in a way that I didn't think to make it of that. Like they're the off season's like 4 or 5 months anyway. This has been like 3 months, 3.5 months. Like you said, they've probably been playing anyway. So why would they be at such huge increased risk of injury? Our opening day, we had this conversation before, but it's just like I just don't understand that whole part of it. Like, if you want to get insurance to protect you in case of an injury because your contract is going to be up in 2 months, go ahead. I got nothing wrong with that. But this idea of like we gotta keep in mind that a lot of these players might be getting hurt. It's like they might be getting hurt in February of a regular season. Like, you might get hurt when you walk outside. Like, I don't understand that. I'm just happy that it's back.
Yeah, like we said that, you know, injuries are unpredictable, so you can't really say. And, I mean, okay, so the NBA season was canceled
mid-March.
So that's been over 3 months, about 3.5. So I would say they probably didn't play for at least a month, and then they started grinding it up. Definitely for the past month, because, I mean, that's when, like, the last early June is when we saw a lot of states getting opened up. So they definitely started playing for at least like a month. So I would say probably 2 months now. They've been, you know, ramping it up, and they're going to have another month. So let's say 3 months. 3 months. And these are professional athletes with, you know, the best trainers and whatnot. So, I mean, I don't see injuries really being a huge factor. I think that's just being overdramatic. These are the best athletes in the world. You know, they're like physical specimens, and, you know, it shouldn't be an issue. We did see, I think I saw there was like 16 players that got COVID. Did you see that?
Yeah, recently? Out of like 305 or how many players are in the NBA, which was like right around 5%, which is like apparently like the, you know, generally like the amount that would test positive amongst like the general population, basically. Like if you test 100 people in Colorado or whatever, like 5 of them are going to test positive. So,
and the thing about that is like, all you see is the headline, like, oh, they tested positive, but one of them was Jabari Parker. And then like a picture was taken of him playing ball, and he looked fine. He was smiling just outside playing ball. So it's not like he's hospitalized. He just has, you know, COVID, and he could be asymptomatic, but, you know, these are, you know, healthy guys. So it doesn't obviously affect him as much as someone older.
It will be interesting to see, like, if and when, which I just still go back to the idea of like, if they're in a bubble, I don't understand how this virus could get into the bubble. I'm allowing for the possibility that I'm just dumb. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I really don't understand how you bring people into a bubble. You're testing everybody. You know that when they come into the bubble, they're either testing negative, or if they were positive, you kept them away from everyone until they started testing negative. And then randomly someone's just going to get it, even though they're not allowed to leave. And then there's the idea of like, oh, some of the Disney workers are going to be allowed to come and go. But the whole thing is like, the areas that they're going to be coming into are going to be areas where the players are not allowed to go in, and mm-hmm. vice versa. Like, where the players can go, these Disney workers that are coming and going are not going to be, so they're going to be completely separated. Like, whatever right. rooms that these guys are washing or coming in to do their job are not going to be the rooms where, like, LeBron and John Moran are going to hang out. So right. I just don't understand how a player is going to test positive. I'm sure it's going to happen. Maybe it'll be a false positive. I have no clue, but I'm literally just curious. I'm not even saying, like, listen to me, there's no way this is going to happen. I'm literally just curious of what would be the mechanism of how this would occur. But to my point, it will be interesting to see what happens if, like, we're in the conference finals and four Lakers test positive, and it's like LeBron, AD, Danny Green, and, you know, whoever, Dwight Howard. It's like, what the hell do we do? That would, like, ruin the season. So fingers crossed that something like that doesn't happen. Not even just for the Lakers. It would be lame as hell if it happened to the Clippers and it was like Kawhi, Paul George, and, you know, whatever, Montrezl Harrell. Yeah. And it's like, oh, great, like, the Lakers beat them. Like, did they really? That would be just so lame.
Yeah. What was I going to say?
Virus, bubble, injuries, NBA, LeBron, Disney World.
It just slipped my mind. But yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. Any contenders that, you know, get the virus would just suck. But I wonder if, I mean, what if, like, LeBron secretly tested positive and it's the finals? Do you think he would actually come out? They would come out and say that he has the virus? He would look bad. That would be like the ultimate lose-lose scenario, because if he continues to play, people will give him shit because he would be endangering the other players and whoever. But then if he doesn't play, then he would get shit for, like, being soft or something.
Wait, you're saying if LeBron gets the virus and doesn't play?
In, like, if he gets the virus, let's say, like, it's the finals, right? And yeah. he just, like, all of a sudden gets the virus. So if he, like, the decision whether, like, he finds out, and that's the decision he has to make, whether he can play or not, whether they will, like, keep it under the table until it the finals are over, or do they immediately are just like, no, you can't play?
No, dude. I mean, that's, I guess, conspiracy. Maybe, like, would they let LeBron play? But no,
they would.
Dude, but they can't, though. Like, I don't. It's not like
LeBron not playing in the finals, taking LeBron on the finals.
If anything, they would, like, just
not hospitalized.
If anything, they would just say, dude, they can't fucking risk, like, oh, LeBron tested positive and then he played it in game six of the finals, but we didn't tell anybody. And then, oh, shit. You know, Danny Green got it, but he did get super sick. And it's like, who cares? They would just if anything, they'd just postpone the finals. They'd just say, fuck it. We're not playing until LeBron is back healthy or whatever.
That would be wild. I guess it would be 2 weeks. Yeah, it would just be two weeks.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like the whole thing is apparently, like, it's something like, I didn't read the whole guidebook of whatever that the NBA released, but it's something like, yeah, like, if you test positive in the bubble, it's like 2 weeks of quarantine for you, and you can't do, like, physical activities at all, because apparently there's, like, an issue with, if you have the virus, like, there could be, like, cardiac issues, like, if you're, you know, like, whatever, sprinting or working out or stuff like that. They don't want, like, your elevated heart rate. But so it would be, I think that's the protocol. Like, you just, even if, like, you test, I don't know. Like, what if you test positive and then they test you again and you test positive again? So they, like, make sure, like, it wasn't a false positive. And then, like, 4 days later, you're testing negative. You have to finish the next 10 days of quarantine, even though you're negative now.
Yeah, because you don't know when you actually contracted the virus originally.
Yeah. Well, I guess they would somewhat know if they're testing you, like, every day. Yeah.
But yeah.
It is just, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Just hopefully this bubble's got to work. I mean, that's what I keep coming back to. The bubble has to work. Like, I don't understand. If they all go into the bubble negative, or at least if they're going positive, they stay away from everyone until they're negative, how the hell is there going to be an outbreak? It makes no sense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the NBA is going to be super precautious about this, because if not, they're going to be the first of the major sports to receive the backlash for starting this up too early and potentially lose even more money. So they got, like, those rings
yeah.
that I think there are mood rings or something like
Called like Aura rings. They're just like Aura ring. There's a few different brands of the same. It's the same idea. It's sort of like biology. Sort of, we're gonna track your sleep and we're gonna track like your breathing rate and your heart rate and all this other stuff. It's like sort of like biohacking, but sort of like biology, physical wellness type deal.
Yeah. There was like a theory that it was actually a tracker to see where they are.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that another thing they came out with, like, they're going to have like law enforcement officials, like protecting the perimeter of the bubble. I mean, it's just like, if you're an NBA player and like you leave this bubble, like you're just an idiot. Like, we're all on the same page. They're all going to go do this. They're going to give it their best shot. Like, what, you're going to go to like the greater Orlando area and like go to a bar or something? Like, do you have like a brain? You're going to ruin it for everybody.
I mean, you don't think Kyle Kuzma is going to try and bring Kylie Jenner?
I mean, Kyle Kuzma is liable to do anything. I mean, I just want him to play basketball. How about this? How about play basketball for the Lakers and like actually be good? That would be my advice.
2 months is a long time, man.
What? Yeah, it is a long time. I mean, it is interesting, but there's only going to be a few players that are in it for 3 months. Like, the vast majority of them are not going to be, it's going to be like a week or two and they're going to be eliminated. So it's like, just deal with it. Just deal with it. Just play basketball. Just they'll find some sort of play golf, you know, play golf. Like we talked about, there's golf courses on this complex. Apparently just play golf and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of the virus, so the gyms opened up in Connecticut 2 weeks ago, I think, about maybe 10 days ago. I don't remember these. I think it was like June 17th. It was like kind of a random date. And pretty much it's just totally back to normal. If you wear a mask inside, like as soon as you walk in, and then as soon as you get up to like where the weights are and all the equipment, like no one's wearing them. And no one's really wiping them down. Honestly, people were more precautious right before they closed the gyms than they are right now. So right before they closed the gyms, everyone was using hand sanitizer. Right as soon as they finished their set, they're wiping down their equipment. Now people just don't give a fuck. They just work out and they don't really care. Like people, they're like, they put signs on some every other like equipment machine saying like, oh, this is closed right now because we have to enforce social distancing. And then people are just moving that sign and just using the machine, just not giving a fuck.
Why would there be like why is that machine like close to a lot of other stuff? Is that why?
Yeah. So like, let's say there's like three lat raise
machines. I get you.
Right next to each other. So they'll put one in the middle. Yeah. And then like, some people would just like move the sign and just like stick it on the wall or something.
That's kind of funny.
Use the machine. So, I mean, it's totally back to normal, honestly, which isn't good. So, I mean, if the second wave would happen, it would definitely be because of the gym, because there's pretty much like no restrictions. And like, I mean, the gym people aren't going to like run and tell everybody like, oh, put on a mask.
Like, yeah,
there's too many people. And I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I mean, it's hard to work out with a mask. I don't wear a mask when I work out. I'll wear a mask inside. Don't shoot me for it. Everyone else is doing it. So
it is. It's a bummer for New York. Like, it was supposed to be gyms opening up on July 7th, and that's not happening anymore.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, because I think their gyms are supposed to be a part of phase three. And now apparently they're no longer a part of phase three. It's like, okay, so now what does that mean? Like, it's going to be August? Like, it's just getting crazy long at this point to not be at the gym.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice though, coming back with the weights, being able to lift heavy again. Actually, I had I did chest and back Friday, and I've been like hitting the gym pretty hard. I don't want to hit it like super hard, but I've been hitting it, you know, 90%. My strength's pretty much 90% there, which is great to see because I didn't really work out for the past like 4 months.
Yeah.
And so I did back, part of the exercise with back. And then I went home, you know, just went to work, and I would just like pretty much, you know, obviously just sat at my desk in my chair, like for, let's say like 10 hours.
Okay.
So my back was totally shot. I couldn't sleep. It was awful. Wow. It wasn't like my lower back. It was like my entire back, upper, lower, middle. It was so weird. It was like,
you went too hard.
It was like spasms, but I didn't like go that hard though. Like I wasn't deadlifting, and I did like heavy ish rows, you know, before. So it wasn't even like the first time. It was like the second time.
You it was do so barbell weird. Rows, or are you saying like the V bar?
Like the machine.
Yeah.
It's not like a machine, the equipment.
Yeah.
You know,
you
put the plates on and you just like, you know, you row it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was. I just like, I did like foam roller at like 5 a.m. in the morning, and it was so weird. But then when I stood up, it was totally fine. It was like, it was totally fine. But when I like laid down, it was like fucking hell. I was like, it was hard to breathe. It was hard to breathe. It was like so weird. But then I like the next day I was like, I'm like, no way I'm going to the gym. But then like, I just like walked around in the morning and I was fine. It was so weird. It was just like a night of like hell. And then I stood up again. I was just walking around and it was just totally normal. So I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense, but you know, I guess my body was just like shocked that I'm actually consistently lifting weights again. But you know, it feels good to be back, you know, regardless of the health precautions. But yeah, I mean, it sucks that New York is really, I mean, they're obviously playing it very cautiously.
I mean, did Connecticut even like get hit bad? Like, I don't even know the numbers in Connecticut. Like,
I don't know. I didn't really, I mean, I don't watch cable TV and I don't watch the news. I pretty much focus on New York's news. I forget I'm living in Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah. Totally it's like, oh, man, New York's bad. What's going on? I better be careful. Like, oh, you don't really live there, so.
Yeah.
Connecticut really does kind of feel like New York. I just feel like New Jersey, Connecticut, like the whole tri-state area is basically just New York or like the state next to New York.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, it's whatever. It's like, I'm only 20 minutes from New York, and, you know, I lived in New York my whole life, so I just consider myself being in New York. I forget I have a Connecticut address, but yeah, I mean, I don't know how like the numbers compared, but you know, Connecticut is just ripping everything open. I think there's malls; the malls are open. That's interesting. I don't know what I want to go see, like what the malls were like. If they make you wear a mask, because I'm not sure if they're allowed to walk in the stores.
How could you open the mall but not be allowed to go in the store?
I don't know. I just don't understand. Because like the restaurants, I think they just allowed people to go inside the restaurants, but it's still mainly outside. I'm not totally sure. It's in fluctuation right now, but I mean, it's definitely back. It's getting back to normal for sure. But yeah, excited to have the gym back for sure. Even though people are just like kind of gross, you know, but I mean, what are you going to do? You just got to wash your hands and try to stay 6 feet apart, but you know, it's a risk, but you know, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yep. 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 I mean, what else do we have? What else do we have on the docket, on the agenda here?
I mean, there was just a tweet that we talked about earlier just saying, I mean, this isn't really a story, but that Rudy Gobert contracted the virus. He was like the first NBA player 4 months ago.
Felt like he was the first human on Earth, really, to get the virus. If we're going to be honest, that's what it felt like.
And so he just came out and said that his I think he said he could smell things, but it's not 100%. It's not 100% back. So he could smell things up close, but he can't smell things from afar. And doctors said that it would take up to a year to regain his sense of smell completely. That's really interesting. I don't even think he had it that bad. Because I think he came out with like just a video like a week after when he first
in his like French accent, like listen. Yeah.
He's just like, oh, I'm okay. It's not a French accent, but
yeah, I don't know.
Not English, so yeah, I mean, so that's like somewhat scary that it's because I mean, obviously, it has like a huge impact, even if you aren't like it's just like a okay. So he says his taste has returned, but the smell is still not 100%. I can still smell the smells, but not from afar. I spoke to specialists who told me that it could take up to a year. So yeah, I mean, that's not great for sure, but. Whatever. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see how the chemistry is for the Jazz because there is definitely some saltiness going on between Donovan and Rudy. Do you remember that?
What, they were like, how they were mad at each other? Or basically,
I mean, it was Donovan, really just Donovan
yeah,
was
a one-way thing.
Yeah, it was just a one-way thing between Donovan and Rudy. He was just like, he said something about, I think he's basically called Rudy selfish. Don't quote me on that. I don't remember the exact wording, but you know that that is basically what happened. I just like saw, I'm looking on Twitter and there's just like this meme of Drake's last minute on Diamond Dancing, and then it's just Jordan crying.
That's a funny meme. On that idea, Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you want to finish your Donovan Mitchell point?
No, that's it.
Okay. I listened and I already heard it, but the Idol leak or no, the Vital leak. That
yeah,
song
yeah.
sounds amazing.
Like, Vital.
That song sounds really good. Of all the leaks, I think that one sounds by far the best.
You like Not Around? I fuck with Not Around. You don't like it. You're like, oh, that
now,
song.
I like it now. I listened to it like a week ago. It's not as good as Vital, but it's pretty good. Like, I'm not crazy about it, but it's pretty good.
Grease,
I like.
Yeah, no, Grease is great.
I would like Grease if he didn't talk in that stupid accent for the whole song. But hopefully
I enjoy it. It's a little different, but it's still him. So you
sounds
know,
like
it's
the
nice
Weeknd.
Thing. I could see that.
It, but
I
it might just
that.
Be the pitch on the song. Like they might have just had to pitch it to like avoid copyright.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
I don't think completely.
Drake doesn't get his shit leaked. He doesn't get his shit leaked. This is like the first time Drake has actually had new songs leaked. So he's doing this on purpose, and It's definitely him.
I don't know if that's true because a lot of these songs are getting taken off of YouTube. So, like,
they are. But I mean, I think that's just like so because like what happens is like for me, for example, I heard Not Around on YouTube, and I was just like, oh, this shit's dope. I just like kept listening on YouTube, and then they took it down. And I was like, oh fuck! Like now I can't listen to the song. Like that sucks. So then, basically, like there's a demand for it. And so basically when he releases it, it's going to be like, oh, I got to get Not Around. You know, it's like a preview. He's basically previewing it, building up the hype, and then like taking it off. Because otherwise, if he just like left it on YouTube, people wouldn't really be that interested in the release because they would already have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I just wonder how many of his fans are actually hearing this stuff. Like not every fan is like a diehard fan.
Because like, no one
monitoring
yeah, I mean,
leaks from Drake.
Drake is not known to be like one of those guys who leaks his shit. So it's really interesting to see what he has up his sleeve. And he would never really leak an album song. So I'm really thinking that these aren't going to be on the album. I don't know if he has like another project coming out or something like another throwaway project. Cause he would never leak a song from his album.
Vital sounds like it could be on the album. Not Around, I just feel like it could be just like a loose release.
What about Grease? I think that's the best of the three.
I don't think it's the best of the three.
Oh, you're wrong.
I think Vital's better than Grease, but I don't know if I see how Grease could sort of fit into an album. I feel like Grease is sort of like, if this was 2012, it would be get put on SoundCloud.
You just throw it on the outro, on one of the outros, one of the last songs. That's what they do.
It's a song about nothing, though. It's just a song about going to Grease. Like, it's not, Drake's songs normally are, I don't know if that song strikes me as like a huge radio song. And then I don't know if it strikes me as like a huge, like some like storytelling type Drake song. So those are like the two vibes that he has on his album. Like, okay, here's, sometimes he has like super rappy songs on his album for like an intro or whatever. Then he has like the, obviously the radio hits. Then he has like the more introspective, like storytelling songs. I don't think Grease really fits either of those because it's not really super introspective. It doesn't, maybe, who knows with Drake, everything just becomes a radio hit. It doesn't sound like a radio hit. It's not super rappy. So it sounds like it's just a perfect, like, release on SoundCloud if this was 7 years ago type of song.
I could see the SoundCloud vibe for sure. But he seems to put, like, the big hits, all the SoundCloud on an album like he did with, like, Hotline Bling. That's why he put it. He just threw it on there.
Yeah, that was, like, cheating, basically. It wasn't actually on the album, but he was like, let me just add, like, 800 million streams to this album.
Right, right. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows what his plan is. Definitely mixing it up. So I'm not sure what his strategy is here. I guess he's just trying to build hype because I think he wanted to release the album, but due to the virus and the protests, you know, it's not like a great time. So I would say MEA is coming back. I would say, let's see, June. I mean, I would say right around, I think August we'll get a single. Finally, after everything is like calmed down, so it's gonna be interesting to see like what that is, what that sounds like. Time Flies still hits. I think I said this on the last album, just like the outro's fire and whatnot. But you know, I think if what's this called, the damn.
Dark Lane demo tapes.
Dark Lane demos. If those are throwaways, which they are, you know, that's like a good sign. It's a good sign. Because Chicago Freestyle is fire, and you know, there's a couple other songs on there. But you know what's funny is, you know who I've been listening to like very recently?
Who?
Designer.
What?
Designer.
What about him? You've been listening to Panda on repeat?
Panda, Outlet is really good. And Timmy Turner.
Yeah.
Do you remember Timmy Turner?
Yeah, I remember the songs, but he hasn't put out music in like 7 years.
He hasn't put out anything. I was looking at his like profile, his music profile, and like he pretty much stopped after his first album like 3 years ago, maybe four. So it kind of sucks because he was like, he had so much hype around him. When Panda dropped, it was like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy is like just comes out with this one song, gets co-signed by Kanye with this huge hit. Then Tim, like, remember how, you know how we're always saying how like the 10, 15 second snippets always sound better than like the full song?
Yeah.
That was like, that's like the perfect depiction of when Timmy Turner dropped. Like, we're just like, oh, he drops Panda, now he's got this one on. And it's just like him playing like this Timmy Turner song.
It was his version of Bobby Bitch for Bobby Smurda.
Oh my God. That was such a fire snippet.
That was probably the greatest snippet of all time. I was Bobby like, Bitch. Is this going to be the greatest yep. song ever?
Oh my God. They're so hyped. Him and Roddy Rebel.
He should have just released a snippet as their CD quality song, like on repeat for 15 seconds.
But. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I can't get Timmy Turner out of the head. Like, he says, like, at this one point, he's just like, balook, balook, balook. I don't know what that means. It makes no sense, but it's just like, it's just stuck in my head. I'm just like walking around my apartment just saying, like, balook, balook, balook. Yeah, listen to it.
You want to know what's crazy is that I go on Spotify, and one thing I like to do is just go to the different artists and see how much monthly listeners they get. It's kind of like a nice gauge of, like, how relevant is this artist, basically. And Tyga has like 38 million streams per month, dude. Like he wow. like kind of resurrected, not kind of, like he basically resurrected his career.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is, I mean, it's not like I'm listening to his music. It's not like I really care when he, and a lot of these songs, like I don't even know what they are, but like he, like to give you an idea, like, so Tyga, like I said, 38 million. French Montana's like 16 to 17 million. You know, Meek Mill's like
a lot right now.
15 million. Rick Ross is around 15 million. Like, it's like these people who you think, like, you know, Tyga, really the only people I know who have more than Tyga are like Post Malone, Drake, The Weeknd, you know, like people like that. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, he pretty much, he dated Kylie. Then he got dissed by Drake. Him and Kylie broke up. Then he, his career just got like shot down. And then like a year or two later, he comes out with
The Taste, the song with Offset. Taste. That's what really brought him back.
And he came out with like another song that has like a very similar beat, and that did very well as well.
I like that song actually. I don't know if I liked it better, but I thought that beat was cooler. I forget what it was called.
I mean, they're so similar, but
he was basically just trying to like copy the song that was popular. Yeah.
I mean, listen, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So,
like, he has more streams than Kanye on Spotify per month, and Kendrick and J. Cole.
What about Future? Can you see Future?
Yeah, I'll just look it up. Future.
He should be up there.
Future's
more.
32. So Future's like right with Kanye. But he has, so to answer your question, Tyga has more than Future.
That's, I mean, it's just disrespectful.
Listen, man, the people are speaking. It's all it's saying is who listens to the music. How much do they listen to it? Whatever happened to Waka Flocka Flame, man?
He kind of lost interest in rap.
Yeah, and he's doing EDM shit.
Yeah, and he's also like, I listened to him on a podcast on like Mixtape, and he was very interested in like making investments and whatnot. So he was like, he's on a different path. Yeah, he's just living life. He's on a different path right now. He had fun with his rap game. So yeah, shout out to him. Rowdy Rebel released like a song from jail. It's like him singing on the phone.
I never were you a fan of this guy? Like, isn't he like Bobby Shmurda's like basically like just buddy?
Yeah. I mean, he had like the one song Computers, which Mero really likes.
Like the kid Mero?
Yeah, the kid Mero. Well, and, but I mean, other than that, other than that, I mean, that's pretty much it. And then he just like went to jail with Bobby.
Happens to the best of them.
Yeah, I mean, let me see what I already talked about. Lil Baby taking the next step. I want to see, all right, top charts. Let's see. This is pretty much how I gauge the music. I'm interested to see how they determine these numbers on the Apple Music top charts. Like for the top songs, because I mean, it doesn't really make any sense. But let's see, 2C Slide is still up there.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's at like, let's say 15. Chicago Freestyles, like top 12. You know, Roddy's got two songs. Yeah, two songs in the top five, top six, technically. So, yeah, I mean, I wish they showed streams for Apple Music. I wish they had those numbers like they do on Spotify. That's what, like, Spotify.
Spotify that's is like, better.
They
show, like, their top 10 most streamed songs at the moment, and they show their monthly listeners. So, like, at any given moment, you could see, like, what is this artist's, like, top 10 most popular songs right now?
They have definitely better playlist curators. Like, there is a rap playlist where it has, like, somewhat underground songs that no one really knows yet, but they're actually like very good. Like so whoever makes caviar. Those flavors. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah, there's like two. There's that one and some other one. Like one more mainstream and one with more low key hits. And those I always found to be fire. So shout out to Spotify for that. And they got the numbers. They got the numbers, like you said. So I think when it comes to that, but I mean, I'm a Apple guy, you know, I'm Apple everything.
Kid Cudi, so, I mean, at 27 million a month. Kudos to Kid, because he's got that Cudi song. Really he's got the song with Travis Scott that's like boosting his numbers.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're coming out with a collab album, and that was like that would be a dream 7 years ago. I would say if Cudi and Travis were in his prime, in their primes, oh man, that would be fucking just an incredible album.
Kid Cudi's prime was like Man on the Moon, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Man on the Moon was not 7 years ago.
But it would be, there would be chance for, but like, I mean, it's hard to like go perfectly back. It's like, Travis's like prime is 2 years ago, maybe right now, depending what his next album sounds like. But Birds in the Trap McKnight, I think it's his best album.
Really? You think it's better than Astroworld?
Let me see. Let's do a quick.
I feel like that's not a popular opinion. If it's not yet, you don't have to go with the popular opinion, but I thought it was general consensus that like Astroworld was his best album. Maybe I could be wrong.
Astroworld, Yosemite. I mean, it could be.
I guess I forgot pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone through the wait through Bees the late the night. Bees in the Trap. Goosebumps, phenomenal.
Yeah, there's some good songs here. There's some good songs.
Wonderful.
Lose. The Weekend.
You know. Highs in the Room. I mean, yeah, Travis is great. Travis is great.
Man on the Moon being released 11 years ago. That's wild.
Yeah, that's an iconic song. Iconic song.
Well, album. Sure. Album.
Oh, that too. Yeah. Obviously. But yeah, I mean, Kids See Ghosts, that was released in 2 years ago. And Cudi, actually, you know, Cudi Montage and Reborn were. I love that, and that's like primarily Kid Cudi. So he definitely still has it. He definitely still has something. So there is definitely potential for this collab album. I think the first The Scots was really just like it was tailored to like to this like Fortnite type of event. So. I'm interested to see what they come out with next, because I know Travis has been dying to get on just a song. He got Cudi on like one song before. It wasn't let me see, I don't think it was that great. It wasn't like what we all expected. I think he just did like the chorus. It was through
Through the Late Night? Isn't that what you're talking
about? Yeah, it's Through the Late Night.
Yeah, I didn't really like that song, to be honest.
I liked it. I think it could have been better. Like, I liked it. I liked it. But, I mean, when I saw Kate featuring Kid Cudi, I was like, oh, shit, this is it. This is it. We finally did it.
Yeah.
You know, as like a Travis and Cudi fan for like years and years, it was like just seeing that, it was like awesome. And then like you heard it, it's like, oh, it was really good, but it wasn't like as epic as it could have been.
Right.
So we're going to see how, I mean, he kind of brought Cudi out of like the trenches. Cause I mean, I think before that Cudi's albums were just trash, honestly, to be totally blunt. They weren't good at all. And
he was in the wilderness.
Yeah. He was just finding himself. So it's good to have him back. So like now they're doing a collab album. So I'm hoping that's going to be pretty good, pretty good. Like if it's like, it should be better than Kanye's and Cudi's album for sure. That I could say.
Really? Okay. I mean, I guess we'll see.
Did you even like that album?
Kids See Ghosts, I thought was, I have to listen to it again. I did like it when I listened to it. I didn't think it was amazing, but I liked it.
That's why. It's not really a very high bar to jump.
You want to know what's weird? You know Anthony Fantano, like the music reviewer on YouTube? He you definitely know. He's the guy. You know who he is. The needle.
Anthony Fantano?
The needle drop, like... You've definitely seen at least his videos. Type in the needle drop on YouTube.
The needle drop.
The guy, he just looks in the camera and reviews music.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the baldy.
Yeah, the baldy. He gave Kids See Ghosts a 10.
Wow.
Yeah. And he gave Ye a really good score, too. But he didn't give Jesus Is King a good score, but I was like, interesting. Kids See Ghosts, a perfect 10. It is like very weird, so maybe it's sort of more geared towards like hipstery, artsy, fartsy types of people, because it's like a bunch of different genres of music sort of slammed together. But
which one?
Kids See Ghosts.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm not giving that type of credit to Ye.
Oh wow, I'm wondering what he gave Dark Lane demo tapes. Does he have like the?
I don't think he gave a good score. Oh, I think you could go. Three? You could go to like the end of the video, like the last like 30 seconds. So that's normally like when he gives a score.
He says he gave it a 3, strong 3.
Strong 3. That would be not good in his opinion.
Apparently, the first comment is, "This is the most positive sounding 3 out of 10 I heard in a while."
So. Well, there you go. Maybe you had some good stuff to say about it.
Oh wait, I want to see. Okay, so he's got Astroworld album review. Let's see what he gave this.
I want to say like strong 7, if I remember the review.
Strong 7, yeah.
Wow. How the hell did I remember that?
And then I want to see, this is what I'm interested to see, if he did one for Roddy Ricch's. Please excuse me for being antisocial. I'm giving it a 10. And where is it? It's not showing me. Is he not? 7. Oh, wait. No, 8. Light 7.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, that's good. Like that for his scoring, he tends to be like a bit of a hard ass with his scoring. So like a 7 is like, definitely by all accounts good.
Okay.
You want to talk about Kanye going like again? A million
views on all these things. Yeah. So Kanye came out on Friday that he just signed a 10-year deal with Gap. So that's he will crazy. Be producing, creating clothing for Gap. He used to work at the Gap and now he's making clothes at the Gap.
I didn't even think about that angle. That's full circle. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Spaceship. Yeah. Spaceship. He talks about like stealing clothes, stealing from the Gap and like smoking a blunt at the no smoking sign outside of it. And now he's, you know, creating clothes for them. And great move by the Gap, because I don't think people understand like the cult following that Kanye has. And it's not even just music. It's just Kanye's brand. Like everything Kanye touches, like people will buy. And that's powerful.
I mean, it's weird that, so he has, obviously the shoes have been like by all accounts a huge success, right? With Adidas. But he would do these fashion shows where he would have like clothes, you know, like actual clothing that weren't like sneakers, but obviously they would have the sneakers too. But I never even knew, like, was that stuff on sale? Like, if you went to, like, an Adidas store in, like, New York City, would there be a section where they had, like, Yeezy clothing? Like, Yeezy apparel, I think it was called? Like, I'm very confused. Like, was that ever sold on, like, websites? I'm very confused about that. So I was always like, first of all, if this is being sold, it's not a good job isn't being done of marketing it, you know, because I have no clue where the hell it's being sold. Not that I was, like, desperate to try and find it, you know? But with this, it's like, this is going to be in the store at the Gap, or I presume like online on like thegap.com or whatever. Like, yeah, if there's, I'll at least buy like one piece, like just to say that I'm like, okay, just to support, you know, like just like a $50 t-shirt, because it's going to be Gap prices, apparently, like affordable stuff. So like, yeah, this is a great move on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, people even buy like his new shitty shoes. I think his newer versions were fire. Original Yeezys 2.0s, 3.0s, and then it kind of like he got a little experimental there. You actually like them? I don't know. I just, not my flavor.
Which ones don't you like?
I don't even know the name of them.
I know what you're saying. Like, the ones that came after, like the three, like the 700 Wave Runners, stuff like that. You like the 350s, yeah, and then you're like, whatever, anything that's not the 350s, I don't like. Dude, there's plenty. Look, to full transparency, I didn't buy any of these shoes, so I obviously don't like them that much. But like, just looking at the designs, I'm like, yeah, a lot of these are pretty cool. I mean, a lot of them suck, but there's so many different colorways, so many different styles. Obviously, some of them are going to suck, and some of them are going to be cool.
Yeah. So the only thing I didn't like was the Gap version of Yeezy, like the brand icon.
Why? I kind of liked it. I didn't mind it.
I think that it looked weird. It just didn't, just the way the text was just off. It doesn't look professional.
Yeah, fair enough. For me. I mean, maybe, I guess that must have been like the official one, but who knows?
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully they change that up a little bit, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they, like, what type of supply they'll have with these, because
are
they if
constantly
they do
like, be restocking, like, yeah, like, or is it just gonna be sold out?
Yeah, because I mean the first line is just gonna be gone.
Yeah.
there's no way around it. And I mean, he basically, if Kanye, you know, does what he does and doesn't get too experimental, I text you about this, like, because like his like normal fashion shit is actually like fire. Like, he's very iconic when it comes to the fashion. So if he just keeps it
relatively normal,
simple and yeah, normal,
but
simple,
with like a little Kanye touch on yeah, your hoodie, yeah, on your gray hoodie. Like, hell yeah. Yeah. Are you kidding me? And for $60 or $70, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean,
I will get one piece guaranteed, whether it's a pair of jeans, everyone, come on.
I probably will too. I mean, it's going to be, you know, affordable. You know, the hype beasts probably aren't going to wear it because obviously everyone's going to have it, but
it'll be too basic. Maybe it'll almost scare. I highly doubt it, but because just hype beasts are just going to be hype beasts, but maybe it'll scare them away because it's too like lame and basic and everyone else will have it, so they don't even want it. That would be the ideal outcome.
Yeah.
It's just there's too much of a supply and they constantly just keep restocking the shelves. So it's like they defeat the hype beast because you can't even be hype because everyone can have it.
So, yeah. So if Kanye just does like puts his little twist on it, Gap was pretty much about to go bankrupt along with like, you know, other stores like Macy's or whatnot. So now if you're interested in investing, this would be the perfect time because, I mean, that first quarter when, you know, the Yeezy sales numbers are in, it's going to just skyrocket.
Apparently it's 2021 is when it's going to come out.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm all in on Gap now.
Yeah. Man, why not? It worked out for
it. It couldn't have been like, it's just a great, great marketing move.
Yeah. It's kind of like, why didn't somebody else do this earlier? It's kind of interesting that Adidas is letting this happen, you know. I guess they're just like, right, we're making so much with shoes, like whatever, we'll just focus on the shoes and it's working out so well, like we don't even care. And it seems like he's basically just doing what he's doing for shoes with Adidas and just doing that for clothes at the Gap. Like, there's like this is gonna be a 3,000% chance of being a success. It's just a wild that some other brand wouldn't have like figured this out. Who knows, maybe they've been in negotiations for like 2 years, you never know, right? So
yeah, I mean, I don't know what other brand would have had the chance to pull this off.
Yeah, that's true, because I guess the Gap is big. It's kind of wild. It's like the Gap, It's just such like a basic brand, you know. I love it though. It's cool.
It's like a New Balance of clothes.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. It's gonna be great stuff. Just imagine you just can walk into a store, if we even have stores after all this coronavirus stuff, if they even exist anymore, and just like, oh, this is a Kanye design thing. Yeah, it's gonna be sick.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I don't really have too much else, unless you do.
Yeah. I mean, I think we pretty much hit on everything. Yeah. So we're keeping it real here. I mean, it's been 3.5 months, and we've just been blasting these podcasts.
I think if we could, how many? So here's a good question. How many? Let me just check my calendar. How many more until basketball?
It's like four.
One, two, three. Yeah, four more, and then we'll have basketball. When is baseball starting? Like, when is opening day? Let me just Google that. Let me just give a little Google. MLB opening day. Come on. I'm on 4% of my computer, so it's going a little slow. Oh, I'm living on the edge. No, this is an old one. They said March 26th. Okay, I'm clicking on the New York Post article, Yankees Nationals, to highlight MLB opening day. Come on. Give me a date.
Can you just type in opening day?
I did. It said March 26th, which is obviously not the correct answer. Okay. This
July 23rd.
July 23rd. My computer is on 4%. It's slow. That's why I couldn't figure it out. July 23rd.
July 23rd. Wow. So even sooner.
Three more until we have some sports to talk about. Great stuff. We're almost there.
So, yeah. So, MLB season will begin on July 23rd, scheduled to end September 27th, and then the postseason will begin September 29th, and the World Series is expected to play on October 20th. So, that, yeah. That makes sense. So they're still keeping the timeline, but they're cutting the season in third. Garrett Cole and
Max Scherzer.
Scherzer going off. Can't believe we got Garrett Cole. That's awesome.
It is sick. Awesome. I mean, he's the best pitcher.
Literally, he's the best pitcher, and he's young still.
And I don't care. It's like 60-game season. World Series is a World Series. If the Yankees win, I'm all in.
Fuck yeah.
Take it however you can get it.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at like the top pitchers, like Scherzer, Verlander, like these are the guys who can go 8 innings and throw like 100-plus pitches, get like 10 Ks, but they're all 35 and over. Cole is there. He I think he's just turned 30, right?
He's still in his prime.
He's just pretty much entering his prime, because pitchers, I said this on a previous podcast, I think when Garrett Cole was originally signed and we talked about it, but pretty much like pitchers enter their prime around age 27, and he's in his prime right now. He is 29, turning 30 in September.
Beautiful.
So I would say he has at least another 5 years of elite. Pitching. I mean, I think, let me see what Verlander is.
Verlander's old, dude.
I think he's 37. Turning 38. 37. Yeah, he's 37. I mean, Verlander, I mean, if he's has the longevity that Verlander has shown, or Scherzer, I believe Scherzer's 35. 35, yep. He's about to turn 36, though, next month. So, I mean, he should have 6-7 more elite years. So, this isn't like a who's a good comparison?
Like a guy they signed who was sort of on his last legs but still had a good couple years. Not totally fair, but CeCe almost.
I was going to say CeCe, because CeCe was elite, but he was, let's say, 34 when the Yankees signed him, 33. Is that fair?
I don't know.
He's 39.
I'm trying to go to his baseball reference. Yeah, here, you go do it, because literally my computer is going to die.
Okay, so when he signed with the Yankees, he was 28, and he had three elite years.
He also wasn't in as good a shape, though. You know, I don't know if how much that played a role, or maybe it was just injuries. You know, it's hard to tell what comes first.
Yeah. Is
it the injuries or because you weren't in great shape? But, you know.
And he had like the alcohol problem, like going on and off.
Yeah, Captain Crunch. So it's like maybe he wasn't the best long-term bet. Obviously, it worked out great, won the World Series, and he was a great Yankee and he's a legend. But it's just Gerrit Cole may have a little bit more longevity, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise we would have. I mean, it's a night and day between who I'd rather have between Strasburg and Cole.
Oh, Strasburg is Cole.
two years older. And yeah, Strasburg had like a phenomenal year, but that was a contract year. And he has not been elite for much more time in the league than he has been. He has been good, not elite, more than he's actually been in the league. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. And he's been injury prone.
Yeah, he's been injury prone. I think they signed him to 7 years.
The Nationals contract. They signed him to something huge.
$25 million for 7 years, yep. So they're going to have him for when he's 38. I think after he's like 34, he's going to, you know, tip off. Like, I mean, Cole, Scherzer, and Verlander all are very similar. They're like tall, relatively thin, and just like in good shape. They're like very similar elite pitchers. Even Zach Greinke had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
On the Astros, and he's just been very extremely consistent. He's 36. So, I mean, these pitchers can be elite up to, you know, mid 30s. So great deal for the Yankees. It's going to be a fun year. And what I think the biggest winner out of this quarantine is actually the Astros. Forget about the damn cheating.
Yeah. I mean, that was going to be sick. That was going to be so awesome. Like, just every stadium they go into, they're going to get booed. The first Astros game where they played in Yankee Stadium, I was going to pay whatever the price was just to go because the atmosphere was going to be crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's no fans.
Ugh.
Huge letdown. I mean, yeah, they are so lucky. They are so lucky. They just seem to always get away with it. Yeah. And
why do the good die young, huh? You know.
And it's like no matter like what stupid shit Carlos Correa comes out and says, like they just seem to luck out.
I think the Yankees, well, they're still, the Astros are gonna be amazing this year anyways, but it'll be a good battle. But I'm on 1% with my computer here, man. So we gotta wrap this thing up.
Alrighty, so episode 28. Like always, check out our blogs and on our website, peopleforgetthat.com. Follow us on Twitter, peopleforgetthat with one T. And like and subscribe or whatever you do on these podcasts. I'm pretty sure you just favorite and I think you do subscribe.
Whatever the kids are doing nowadays.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, show us some support. We'll appreciate it. And yeah, that's it for today.
See you.
Peace.